We've been in a series called Victory in Warfare. Victory in Warfare. We started off with weapons of our warfare. Last week we talked about, Pastor Lori talked about the victory over discouragement. And I was going to go all kinds of directions, but today it just kind of boiled down to this. Let's go ahead and put the title up. Victory in the Fiery Trial. Would you say that with me? Victory in the Fiery Trial. Victory in the Fiery Trial. Have you ever been in one? Are you in one now? If you have never been in a fiery trial, then this message is for the next day or two. You will need this tomorrow. On the back of your notes, when everybody gets those handed out, we have a couple of verses, and I want to read those as you look and read along. And that is beginning with 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 14. Now listen, the context of some of these verses will be the backdrop of persecution and affliction. Jesus actually said these words. He says, they hated me first. So if you get hated, just know they hated me first. And these are, here's one of my favorite verses. I guess it's because it's in the Handel's Messiah. And that was about that tall. For some reason, I was invited to sing in the Handel's Messiah in our little town, Rockingham, North Carolina. And went downtown to some church down there and learned to sing, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And every mountain shall be brought down, some every valley," whatever, how that song goes. And I didn't even know the Lord. I don't believe I knew the Lord, but the power of singing that vibrant, vibrant song. And of course, the Hallelujah chorus changes your life. Doesn't matter who you are, just the power of that. And so, but in the meantime, go ahead and look on the verse. Beloved, do not be surprised. Go ahead and tell somebody, before we get started, don't be shocked about this thing. The Greek word there for surprise basically is shock. Don't be shocked. Don't be kicked out of sorts. We used to live in a Christian nation, but now it's up for grabs. Don't be caught off guard. Don't be shocked. I grew up and it's like, what? There was a stability in the land because the word of God was profound, and there was, when we were little, prayer in school. But, you know, they kick the Bible out of school and they hand it to you when you go to prison. So how could God let that happen? Well, he's not there. You've kicked him out. You asked him not to be there in school. So we used to, but now it's up for grabs. And so now there's a remnant, there's a people, and there's a process that we're going through. So he says, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Don't be surprised by the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening. Just let that sink in, would you? Just let that sink in. You'll get involved with a whole lot less fighting when you know what God's really about in the midst of the fire. In the midst of the fire, there's a change coming to you. He's changing you and I. How many of you have got, you're pretty much loaded with some dross, some impurities? But the fire is designed to relieve you of yourself. Come on. As though something strange were happening. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Hey, people are going to hate God. I'm not going to go over there right now, but I've just been meditating somewhat on 2 Thessalonians 2, and it talks about that people reject the truth and they basically do not obey the gospel, and they embrace the deception so greatly that God just gives them over to great delusion. Great delusion. Deluded. Then he's just because you've rejected. Let me put it this way. God, if he wanted to, if he wanted to do this, he could show up in the sky and he could make himself known to the whole world. And he could cause you to believe in him. But he's not interested in that. It's not as important as this. He came to earth. And he lived. He became a man. And he showed forth his love. Jesus Christ revealed the heart of Father God. And then he died upon the cross to break the power of sin's rule over the heart of man to every person who puts their trust in him. And God is not so, even though it begins with belief, what the Lord's looking for is love. Will you love him in the private world of your heart? Will you love him and have a bond with him? That's what he's looking for. He's looking for someone who cherishes him the way he cherishes you. That's the bottom line. I was thinking about this because Heather and I are going to be 40, our anniversary next year, I think, is 40 years. 40 years. We know each other. We know everything about each other. And we love each other. I don't know everything about God, but he knows everything about me. He knows all the things. You know, I don't know if you ever heard this little story, but Jesse Duplantis, about 20 years ago, did a video. He had an out-of-body experience and visited heaven. And the Lord Jesus was giving him basically a command to says, I want you to go and share my word, you know, thus and so. And you know what Jesse said? But Lord, I've done some things. And he was bringing up his sin in his mind before the Lord. And the Lord responded and said, Jesse, I don't remember. You see, the blood of Jesus gives selective amnesia to the Lord who loves you. He doesn't remember. He doesn't even want to remember your failures. He doesn't want your life defined by your failures. He wants your life and my life defined by his love for us and who he says we are to him. And when you get that, you start leaving stuff behind. And you start enjoying the relationship. And you can whisper this to the ear next to you. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Every morning. It's almost like the Lord says, I'm going to give you night and day. I'm going to give you death and resurrection. And every day, you can go to bed and die to the day before and be resurrected in the newness of my life. Every day. Praise the Lord every day. His mercies are new every day. And his mercies heal us from the consequences of our sin. His grace empowers us not to go back, but empowers us to go forward. But his mercies do the healing part. Isn't that wonderful? He says, I'm going to greet you with kisses in the morning. I'm going to wake you up and your heart's going to be renewed in my love for you. Kissy, 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 kissy. Oh, kissy, kissy. This is Jesus Christ. This is Father God. Let's look at the next verse. I won't read the rest of that one. Other one, I just want to go on to 1 Peter 5 on the back of your page, the second one. In this second part of verse 5, I call it 5b, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. See, when you're going through something, there's a proper time coming. But when you've healed, you humbled yourself, the day's coming, the time's coming up. So in the meantime, as you come under, by the way, let me go ahead and say, you want to be under the hand of God. Tell someone, you want to be under the hand of God. You want to be under the hand. You know when evil happens? Evil happens when He removes His hand. You want to be under the hand. You don't want to be living the life that He goes, well, and lifts that hand. You want the hand of God on your life. Humble yourself under His mighty hand, and He will exalt you at the proper time. You'll get it right. You'll get it right. How many of you remember? There's some stuff in there that needs to go. And then so in the meantime, I want you to cast all your cares. Cast all your anxieties. The word anxiety here, the word care, it's the word marimna. Sounds like marimba, you know. And I think it sounds like that, just this is my joke, because the devil's wanting to play your brains. And marimna means to divide your mind. It means to distract you. It means to cause you to be distracted from your relationship with God. It goes along with that same idea of casting down every high thing and every high imagination that separates you from God. It's that same idea that worries and cares, when they get up in there, they distance you, right? And he says, and that the word here to cast is literally like throwing horseshoes. You just keep throwing them. How many of you have thrown horseshoes and not gotten your horseshoe near the pole? You went, ah, and then you get it and you fall on one. You know, you just keep, here's the deal. You keep casting your cares until you think you got it off. You got until it's not in your hands anymore and it's on that pole. You got, hey, how many of you have done that? You say, Lord, I give you this care. And you turn around and walk the other way and it's back. So what is my head, a magnet? You know, you worship. You exalt Jesus, you worship, you praise Him. You get that thing, you displace it with something else. Casting all your cares on Him. Why? Because He cares. He cares for you. So He wants you to do something, and then He'll do something. This is, be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. By the way, the word adversary, it means an opponent in a lawsuit. Opponent in a lawsuit. Isn't that something? What's going on in our country right now? The adversary, the devil, is prowling around, wanting to get in lawsuits, seeking someone he can devour. That's a spirit. Everybody say, resist him. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. It doesn't matter the nature of the trial. Somebody else is going through the same thing. Go ahead and say, well, see, here's the deal. You know, this is where most people end up. Why me? Why this happen to me? Why me? You're not the only one. There's a lot of selfish people. There's a lot of self-centered people. There's a lot of arrogant, proud people. Why me? Why me? There's a lot of insecure people. There's a lot of fearful worry warts around. There's a lot of them. Why me? You're not the only one. Are we having any fun today? Anyway, just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down there. Now listen to this, guys. I love this. After you've suffered, and you don't have to suffer very long, it says. After you've suffered, and this is the correct translation. One version says after you've suffered a while, but it's actually a little while. And I think of God and how what He considers little. And I don't think we're on the same page. I really don't. I don't think we're on the same page with what we consider little. Because I like little to be very little and over really quick. But to Him, you know, a day is 1,000 years. It's kind of messed up. 1,000 years like a day. So his little is a little bit longer than my little. How many of you have felt that true? When you're in the pain of it, you want it to be over now. And if you can't take a pill for it, you want a shot. Is that right? Lay hands on me. Let's all pray. I'm praying. I'm quoting. I'm confessing, you know. After you've suffered a little while. I was reading this, then I came to this next little phrase, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. And I think I cried for 15 minutes in the car. The God of all grace called me. And he called me into his eternal glory. The God of all grace called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. That changes everything. It's not just about here and now. The God of all grace called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. That's forever and ever glory. That's why a little while is really a little while compared to the eternal forever and ever glory of God. It's just a little while. Even if it's your whole life, it's just a little while. And he says, in a little while, Christ himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Restore, make you complete. Confirm, basically make you stable. Strengthen, make you strong. Establish, it's really about laying, establish means to lay the foundation you never had right. I know of men of God that go their whole life and then suddenly explode because there's some molestation or some kind of a thing that happened as a child that the foundation never got laid there. And they went off the tracks, and some of them have the wisdom to go get their therapy sessions. I'm so glad that the Lord sent me into the understanding of the cleansing and healing of the soul way back so that I could face these days and not have all of this stuff coming up. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I know I'm loved so much. God says, I'm going to fix you before you get you out there. Hallelujah. God, by the way, there was a lot of working on me, but I got the principles of how to do it. Is that helpful? And so when you come here, there's a resource available that Jesus will heal the broken heart. If you're broken, there's brokenness in your life. If there's deep wounding in your life, most of our pastoral staff have opened their hearts and wailed and grieved and let all the pain of those earlier traumatic situations out. I have people in the room right now that stand up and give a testimony for a minimum of an hour apiece, just talking about all the things that Jesus has done in their life to heal them since they've been in this environment of Jesus doing the stuff he loves to do. It's amazing. And so that's why we're here. Come to the banquet table and eat all you can. Take every tool, everything that he has for you. Here's the deal. God is working in your life, perfecting you in his image. So you may be facing something like many that are facing something that you have actually never faced before, and you feel overwhelmed by it. And the reality is, in the midst of all this, the Lord is with you, and the Lord will actually walk you through it. He stands with you and stays with you. So here's the deal. Don't look to your circumstances and start prophesying your circumstances. When you start complaining and you start speaking out all the negative things, it just gets worse. And the devil moves on that with fear. And you begin to come under fear. But when you begin to, and you're in a fiery circumstance, and you begin to actually say, well, okay, God, what's your word say about this? Then you begin to speak his word, and there's a peace. I'll tell you, there's a sanity that comes to your mind. Fear will steal your brains out of your head and make you do stupid things. I believe the body of Christ is in a refiner's fire season, like a crucible, And because we're on the verge of a great outpouring of His Spirit, we're hoping and praying for, you know, this desire of His heart to be poured out. And we come upon this, and suddenly it's like trials, testing, proving, changes. So, I have a, what's the next slide? Here we go. Our Lord Jesus promises you, His follower, that He will be with you through everything you go through, and that He is working in you and through you for His glory. This is a reality. This is a Christian worldview. This is a biblical worldview. I think the word Christian has been pretty much trashed. There are people say, I'm a Christian, and they say all this stuff that's non-biblical. So, and it doesn't matter, you know. That's why I quit using the word Christian mostly and just use follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm not in that big pudding out there that you can put arsenic in it and all. I'm not in it. But I am into following the person of Jesus because He loved me and gave Himself for me. Aren't you? The Christian worldview says that God is the creator of the world and rules the universe. The Bible is God's word for mankind and is completely accurate, including matters of life and its origin. And because of God and His word, absolute moral truth exists. Do you know those people that say, there is no absolute truth? That statement is a statement of absolute truth. It just falls on its head. Yes, there is absolute truth. Absolute moral truth. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He lived a sinless life, died for our sins, was buried and rose again from the grave 3 days later. Satan is a real being. He's not just a principle or symbolic. And he seeks to defeat God's plan for man. And salvation is obtained solely by individual faith in Christ's work on the cross. And it cannot be earned. It cannot be earned. It is by faith in what He has already done. And everything you and I will ever have is coming back to the treasure chest and opening it up and seeing what Jesus has provided and laying hold of that. That's how it works. So I want us to look at our, on the basis of our scriptures here, the first fill in the blank. It is, you will go through a fiery trial. We've kind of established that already. But you will. You will go through a fiery trial. If you're not in one now, you will go through one. A verse on your paper, John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have, everybody say will have. Will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And for the believer, one reason that there's, I think I put that there too, yeah. Matthew 4:16-17, though, Jesus was teaching on the parable of the sower, and He said, and these ones are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. That's why it's so important when you come to know Jesus and begin to walk with Him, to be around other people who do. You know, the people, your closest companions will determine your future. Word says bad company corrupts morals. The people that you hang out with will determine where you end up. They even say that the five people closest to you determine your income. Isn't that amazing? Influence of people around you. So when you're going through a trial, if you're with somebody else that they've already quit, they have no desire to gather, at least gather somewhere where Jesus is exalted, where Jesus is loved, where people care, where His love is dynamically alive, where the blood of Jesus truly forgives sin, where you're safe, where you feel safe. Let's go ahead and number two. Jesus will be with you in the fiery trial. Jesus will be with you. Jesus will be with you. Thank you, Jesus. As we mentioned earlier, you want the little while to be over pretty quick. But there is something about the Lord's presence in the midst of a trial that causes you to endure it. It says, "Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age," on your paper. And also, I love this verse, Isaiah 43, verse 2. "When you pass through the waters," let's read it aloud. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Now, you know of a story in the Bible where that happened, don't you? I'm going to look at what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everybody say Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were a malicious, evil, amazingly wicked. They were like Satan personified in human flesh. Everything the Chaldeans did was absolutely anti the purpose of God every single time. They are a picture of demons, the Chaldeans. Verse 8 of Daniel 3 says, "Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews." Chaldeans. Somebody else maliciously accuses. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Whenever somebody comes and maliciously accuses someone's faith in Jesus Christ, Satan is in operation. He is involved, just like Satan was involved in the Chaldeans. That's happening today. They declared, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. You, O King, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the pipe, the horn, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every other kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a fiery furnace. There are certain Jews who you have appointed over affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O King, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden idol that you have set up." What happens? Nebuchadnezzar becomes furious. He gets in a furious rage. And in this furious rage, he commands Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought before him. And he asks, "Is it true?" And they said, and he's basically asking them, "Will you do it?" And they said, "Here's the deal. We're not going to do it. We have no need to answer you in this matter, O Nebuchadnezzar. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not," everybody say, "but if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." We're not going to embrace the ideology of the day. We're going to exalt Jesus Christ and live to him. We're not going to bow to the false idol. So Nebuchadnezzar is filled with fury. It gets full of fury, doesn't it? And the expression of his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he ordered the furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than it ever was. And this is the word here. These men were bound. They were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Everybody says, bound. When they went into the fire, they were bound. They were bound, and then they were put in the fire. If God's with them, we'll see what happens. If God's not with them, but they're put into the fire. It seems like all their clothes would burn off, doesn't it? It seems like their flesh would melt. Because the Romans, Nebuchadnezzar's guards, several of them died getting the guys down close enough to get them in the door. The heat was so great that some of his soldiers died. But they went into the fire bound. Isn't that how the Lord works in our lives sometimes? When it's the fiery furnace test, there's some area of your life that's tied up. There's something inside that's bound up. But the fire can get to it. The fire can do something. Jesus is going to be with you in the middle of the fire. And there's something that is bound up in some of our lives. And the reason you're going through the fire is because he wants to deal with what's bound up. Instead of complaining, say, Jesus, free me in this place. Be with me in the midst of my fire. And cause me to know you in a way. Burn the fear out of my life. Burn the self-centeredness out of my life. Burn what binds me to what's contrary to you. Free me, Jesus, in the midst of the fire. Don't be surprised. How many of you had a trial and you just want to blame everybody within shouting distance? You get upset. Complaining just turns the heat up on you and doesn't invite Jesus in. But when you've decided that if the fire burns me, I die, but there's no way I'm submitting to the lie of the king. Right? And then King Nebuchadnezzar is rubbing his eyes. And he's looking. He's rubbing his eyes and he's looking. And he starts counting. He's rubbing his eyes and he's looking. He goes, hang on a minute. If he was from the south, now listen here. I thought we put three guys up in there. There's four of them. Can you count that? Then we can count that. So one, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. There's a fourth person in there who has the appearance of the Son of the Gods. Jesus shows up in your fire. And you know what he's using the fire for? To burn off what binds you up. To free you from what has bound you. This is victory in the fiery trial. When you come through it, what bound you before no longer binds you. You're free. And what's amazing is that there's no effect of the fire except on one thing. Precisely where you are bound. No other place is there effect of the fire seen except on the place you're bound. Let's praise the Lord. The Lord wants to say this in here. He wants your heart to resonate. There's something that he wants to, that's bound you. And the fire is set to free you. And when you come out of the fire, you're not bound anymore. I just want to praise him, don't you? We need to understand, see, the ways of the Lord are higher than our ways. We would run from the fire, but the Lord says, I'll be in there with you. I'll be in there with you. And the thing that's bound you up, it'll leave you. I'll use the fire to deliver you from what's bound you up. I can feel the hallelujahs beginning to well up inside your heart. And it's a gracious hallelujah. It's not like jump on the pew and shout hallelujah. It's just, oh yeah, hallelujah. I need to hear that Jesus will get in the fire with me. And when I come out the other side, I won't be bound the way I was when I went in. I need to hear that. I need to know
I need to know because I don't want to be a complainer and stay in the fire and prolong the fire. I need to know Jesus is in there with me. Praise the Lord. Just hold up wherever you're bound right now and just say, Lord, here's where I need to be burned out. I need you to take this from me in Jesus' name. I need you. I need you in the fire with me. I need you. I need this fire to not burn me, but to burn what binds me. I want to come out without the hair, singed, with no smell of smoke, and I want to be free in a deeper way than I ever been before. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thoroughly equipped, lacking nothing. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Just let it go in. Let it go in. The Lord can just right now put a scenario in your mind of something you've resisted, and the Lord says, come on, I'm going to free you now. You've been fighting it off. The Lord says, I'm walking into it with you, and I'm going to burn out what you don't need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've been slapping Jesus' hands every time he reaches for the thermostat. The Lord says, we're going to smoke this selfish thing out of here. We're going to burn this binding off of you. I just want to worship the Lord because I know what's coming next. The last verse in this whole thing says this, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Everybody say promoted. Promoted. When you go in the fire, you're bound. But when Jesus is in there with you, you come out unbound, and then he promotes you. Jesus says, I couldn't take you where I wanted you in the condition you were in. But I needed to unbind you from the things that had bound you up on the inside. And once that's happened, I'm going to give you a greater place of ministry and impact. And there's something that the Holy Spirit does when you walk through a season. Let's look at fill-in number 3. You will be proven. You will be proven in the fiery trial. This is a crucible season in the body of Christ. Worldwide, I think in the last 15 days, we've heard of more people dying for their faith in other countries. It is extraordinary. But let me go ahead and say, I love in that movie, I think I mentioned it once, it was just the most precious thing. I love in that movie, the Apostle Paul, when they talked about when he was coaching the believers and they were going to go into the Colosseum and be eaten by lions. And he says, you won't feel the pain, but just for a moment. But then you'll be in the presence of Jesus forever. Just a moment of pain, and you'll be in the presence of Jesus forever. Just a moment of pain, you'll be in the presence of Jesus forever. Don't fear the pain. Look to the presence of Jesus. Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible is for silver, the furnace for gold, and the Lord tests the hearts. Who is he going to be able to use? Is he going to be able to use your life? Or are you going to run the other way? Are you going to be what the Lord wants you to be? It's no fun to be tested. I don't like getting in the front of the line on these things. You know, like, let me go first. I'm not that guy. But let me say, on your notes, the very last verse on the bottom of the fill in the side page, it says this in 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. It says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest the day that Jesus comes and is our judge. It will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work is that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but as only through fire. Here's what the Lord's doing. when you go through a fiery trial here, he's burning up the hay, wood, and straw now. He's dealing with it now. So that when you get up there, he's not having to do it there. And you become something. You become precious stone. You become the character that he wants you to be, an expression of who he is. Many are called, but few are chosen. I used to think many were cold, but few were frozen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And here's the deal. When you go through the fire, you're chosen. When you run the other way, when the heat's on, you're called. But you determine. Are you going to be chosen? Are you going to be the one that says, yes, you went through the fire. Come on over here. I got some wonderful promotions and things to do through your life. Let me tell you what the promotion is. You get to be really close to Jesus. And he gets to do things in and through your life that you always wanted to happen. But now you're not in the way. And it's all about him now. Oh, let's just praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody say, after you've suffered a little while. Then the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will restore you and confirm and strengthen and establish you. Let's do stand together. Let's just stand. We're going to close now. I don't know who you are, but the nature of what you heard freed you from a disproportionate amount of worry. Somebody is freed from having to consider something that was bothering them. And it's not there anymore because you believe that the Lord's working in your life and he's with you. That impression came in my spirit. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Father God, I just ask you to pour the grace of God freshly, anoint powerfully your people. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you for your healing presence, your restoring presence, your confirming presence, your strengthening presence, your establishing presence. That you are doing something because we're coming out. Some are coming right out the other side of a trial. Some are understanding why they've been in one. Some are being promoted. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you honor and praise, Lord Jesus, for being in the midst of the fire with us. Never leaving us or forsaking us, standing with us. Now, Lord, remove everything we don't need. Remove everything we don't need that you may be glorified and expressed through us. Thank you, Lord. If you're opening your heart to the Lord to walk with him, welcome to the family. I would invite you to come down and we'll agree with you in prayer. Nobody pushes anybody to do anything around here. We just say Jesus is so irresistible, you have to be a fool not to love him. He's already done everything he can. Whose fool are you? I'm a fool for Jesus. Because he's loved me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. All my past has been dealt with. He loves me. He's got a future and a hope for me. There's nothing that he doesn't oversee and help me in my life. He's good. As we dismiss, I want to invite you to come forward for prayer. It is such a, it's almost like we're in the holy cocoon of God's care. Isn't this good? If he's massaging something into your heart, make sure it gets all the way in there. Let me get it all the way in. Don't let the seed pop out. Go ahead and take the truth of what he's putting in you and let it settle in there. Because he's taking you to a new place of trust, a new place of security, a new place where he is more to you than he was before. Amen. Love on each other. You're dismissed.